Hey, everybody. It's me, Kevin Stevenson. Thanks for joining me today on I Don't Care with, of course, me, Kevin Stevenson. I've got a guest today that I've actually talked to one of his colleagues at his company a couple of years ago. But I know we've got a lot of great updates. Say hello to Daniel Stein, who's the CEO and founder of Embold Help. Daniel, welcome to I Don't Care.
Well, it's great to be here with you. Thank you.
Glad to have you. Hey, tell my audience a little bit about yourself and remind them a little bit about Embold Health.
Sure. So I'm a primary care internal medicine physician, so don't hold that against me, Kevin.
Okay. Hey, not a problem.
I promise I did a lot of referrals. I've been in the industry for, going on 25 years now. I've worked as a practicing physician, worked helping set up primary care clinics, worked for hospitals and health systems. And I started Embold really because I realized there was all this different variation in how different doctors practice. You know, who's going to deliver care that's based on the latest science? Who's not? Who's going to deliver something that helps you? Or who's going to do unnecessary surgery? And I wanted to make that information available to people. So we built data analytics to help understand how docs perform. And then we work with employers and health plans to make that information available to everyday Americans just looking to make different healthcare decisions.
Okay, very good. So a lot of my guests recently have been talking about AI. I mean, my gosh, everybody is right in the middle of trying to, they're either trying to figure it out or running away from AI. So tell me a little bit about how Embold incorporates AI into your platform.
Yeah, well, we're in the category of running towards it.
Okay, good.
But running towards it and trying to be a smart, thoughtful, intentional way. You know, I think, you know, the reality is this is the Wild West right now. And while AI has incredible potential, it has to be used in a way that's ethical, accurate, and with appropriate guardrails. So we're running towards it, but running towards it, you know, with appropriate caution. For us, kind of where we started, you know, with our AI applications is this kind of basic question that I'm sure you get asked all the time from your guests and listeners and family members and patients and, you know, I need a doctor. Who should I go see? And
that happens on a daily basis.
What informed our AI roadmap, believe it or not. And there's a triage. There's a set of like questions that you, with your clinical training, know to ask. You know, somebody with your knee pain. Okay, is this something where I'm worried you got a fracture or I'm worried it's infected and you got to go to the ER? You know, no, it's not that. Okay, is this something that I think, you know, a primary care or physical therapist could deal with because it doesn't sound that all that significant? Or is this something where I've really got to get you in to see an orthopedic surgeon? And if it's an orthopedic surgeon, do I want to get you into somebody who's going to be really good at a certain type of procedure like ACL repairs because you blew out your knee skiing? Or no, this is somebody that's more of a, you know, joint replacement because you're 60 and you've had wear and tear arthritis for a decade. Like there's a whole set of like clinical logic and triage that you go through and I go through anytime you get that question. But the reality is it's pretty complicated logic. And if you tried to code a decision tree, like the way this has been done historically, you know, the if then statements and you map it on a wall and then you code it out, like it gets really complicated really fast. So the power of these large language models is you can have an interaction with an everyday patient who knows nothing about any of those questions that we're asking, and you can lead them through a guided conversation and you can elicit from them what's going on. And then on the back end, what the generative AI models are doing is then mapping you to the right place for you for your specific care needs. So each chat is actually generating a different set of recommendations based on the input that's coming in. But it's not based on this massive, unruly, you know, 10,000 decision rule type of logic. but it's based on, you know, using the power of these large language models with guardrails and clinical validation.
Okay. Well, you know, because you've hit the nail on the head, because I'm here in Central Texas in Waco, a little bit smaller community than Nashville, but we have a very robust medical community. But seriously, it seems like every day somebody's coming up to me. They know, you know, I'm an admin at the hospital. Like, hey, Kevin, I've got, you know, like, let's take one of your examples. Hey, I've got knee pain. You know, I'm 63 years old. Haven't been skiing in a long time. Probably a good idea. But, you know, just that wear and tear, played a little sports in high school, kept playing softball, you know, way too late into my 40s. And it's really bothering me. But, okay, then let me throw some caveats on here and you tell me if Embold's platform can then take it to this extreme. Hey, but I want a guy about my age. You know, prefer somebody that probably maybe did their undergrad at Baylor, because I did, you know. And I want somebody that has a really good bedside manner. You know, I want a quality surgeon if I need to go that route. But I want somebody that I can like too. So, okay, plug me into Embold's platform and tell me who I should go see.
Yeah, so that's exactly how you can start to the platform elicits preferences. So you will start asking you questions, you know, basic stuff, you know, the clinical, but then the tool will then ask you, well, how far are you willing to drive? Is there a certain health system that you want? If you want to get into like the demographics of the provider, you can say, I want a Spanish speaking female, you name it, type of provider that accepts my insurance. And then the recommendations that you're getting out of that now are personalized to that search, which may be different than the search you just gave me, which is what, you know, I want a 60-year-old English speaking male who went to Baylor. And so, yeah, that's the power of it, where you're able to personalize it, and you're personalizing it based on the information that the member is providing, but you're also personalizing it based on what you know about the member, because we get a lot of information from the employer beforehand. I know where the employee works and where they live. I know what insurance they have. You know, for getting that information, I can know that they've had arthritis for 5 or 10 years, you know, and so you can, this is kind of the power of being able to start to pull this knowledge together to personalize the recommendation.
Okay. So you mentioned at the beginning, you know, and I think this is the question a lot of my folks, when we're talking about AI, people are very concerned about, you know, the ethical aspects of AI. And, you know, they're concerned about, you know, hey, I ask a certain question to, let's say, ChatGPT, and sometimes I'll ask that question, and you can tell that it has a real bias to it, based yep. upon who inputted the information prior to that. So, you know, as somebody who might be looking for a provider, okay, how do I know that, you know, whenever I'm in the Embold's platform, you're just not going to steer me to the least expensive provider or whoever you want to? How does that happen?
Yeah. So there are kind of three different levels of validation and guardrails that we put in place here. And, you know, you've hit the nail on the head. We are really intended to be the gold standard here. We think it's important that you're going to be the market leader. You got to be willing to set your bar high and stick to it. So the first is how we do the actual doctor ratings. So the clinical validation, and I know you went into this a couple of years ago, but just that the quick version of that is, you know, we've amassed a massive data set. So 230 million records across the country to be able to evaluate different providers. And then we are using the latest clinical science, the latest literature, the latest evidence to help identify those docs who are delivering care that's exceptional. So that's the first layer. The recommendations got to be rock solid. The second layer is that the guidance coming out of the tool has to be clinically valid. Like I'm sure you remember some of, especially some of the early days with ChatGPT, but even now, you can you can type in stuff and what you get out of it, you just kind of scratch your head and really? That doesn't seem right clinically. So we tested, before we released the tool, 20,000 different clinical scenarios to make sure that, that the guidance coming out of it was accurate. And we were blown away with the results, Kevin. You know, we exceeded the right recommendation over 99.5% of the time, which quite candidly, far, far, far exceeded the bar that that we had set based on what's common industry. And then the third part of the of making sure that it's validated and accurate is the part that you alluded to, which is making sure it's responsible, making sure it's not biased, making sure it's not giving, you know, misleading information based on who it is that's entering it, who it is that trained the model. And we, I'm not sure if you saw this or not, but we announced a partnership with Microsoft to make our tool available through their AI suite late last year. And through that, we had to go through a very robust, responsible AI process to make sure that we are not, that, that the results aren't biased. And I give them a lot of respect and a lot of kudos. It's certainly, you know, it's a hard process to go through, but it's 100% the right thing to do.
Yeah, very good. Okay, so I think we talked a lot about the end user, the patient. Let's talk about the employer. Okay, so, hey, healthcare costs are running rampant for so many organizations, most all organizations. So as an employer, I'm coming to you at Inbold Health. I'm like, how can you help me control my healthcare costs?
Employers are in a tough spot. You know, costs are up, as you alluded to. And the problem that they have is their tools, what they can do about it, are pretty limited. You know, we can pass on more costs to our employees. Well, no, a lot of employees are struggling financially, you know, in a lot of different sectors right now. So that's not an attractive option. You know, the other options that the health plans have offered historically, things like prior auth, their medical certification, or making you kind of jump through hoops, you know, that's not member friendly. That introduces a lot of abrasion for the member, a lot of, you know, makes a lot of paperwork for the provider too. So employers are limited. So what we're offering them is a different way to control their costs. What we're telling them is the data is pretty compelling. If you pick a high performing provider, you're going to save on average about $2,500 per year in costs relative to using a lower performing provider. And that's not a price difference. That's because you know this, and in every other industry, when you achieve quality results, it costs less. Yeah, they're doing less unnecessary stuff. They're getting better outcomes, lower complications, etc. And so what we're offering them through a member-friendly digital navigation offering is a set of tools that helps guide their members to the best providers. And in doing so, you kind of have that win-win where it's better for the member because they're getting better care, and it's better for the employer because it's costing them less too.
Okay. All right. So I'm assuming you work with health plans as well.
We do.
So, okay. Now we're hitting on the third leg of the stool.
You know, don't forget about the providers.
Yeah. Well, okay. Four legs. Okay. Sorry. We'll get to them too. But with the health plans, okay, oftentimes their desires are not aligned with the patient or the employer. You know, the health plan, let's face it, they're in it to make money, right?
Yep.
So how do you interact with them, and how do you maintain that careful balance?
Yeah. So, I mean, this gets back to kind of the approach that we take, you know, on the chat validation. Quality is quality. Quality doesn't matter if you're a big employer or you're a big health plan. The quality scores are the same, and we will not bury them. It's incredibly important for there to be a single source of truth and for that truth to be respected. So we're 100% transparent. The measures, the methodology, the results, and those do not vary depending on whether it's employer or health plan. you know, with an employer, you know, the nice thing about the employers is there's typically a very strong alignment where if we help our employees get healthier, if we help them manage their conditions, if we help them over the long term, we're going to see that in savings, and the data bears that out. With the health plans, you know, some of those populations, it overlaps like that, and some of them, they have higher turnover and higher churn rates, and they're more short-term focused. And so what we really try to do is focus our work with those health plans who understand the impact that they can have long-term by driving towards quality and aligning with those groups. But that's not everyone, you know, as you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Sorry. I forgot that fourth leg. Let's talk about provider. You know, because I see this could be used. Okay. Say large multi-specialty clinic has just formed in a major metropolitan area, and they're looking to add patients. Okay. So, you know, I look to you guys, I'm like, hey, this could be a great way for you guys to help drive patients my way.
100%. Yeah. Okay. 100%. There's that use case. And then there's the use case where you've got a big multi-specialty or a big primary care practice that's just expanded or opened up in a location. And they're trying to figure out who should I be referring to.
Yeah.
I got a couple health systems in town. Like, which docs, which groups are the ones with a little bit of the best care? And then you've got the use case on the provider side, where some of these hospitals and health systems and provider groups are beginning to take risk, whether that's in Medicare or in commercial. And they're trying to understand their utilization patterns. And how do I stack up relative to others in the market? What do my total costs of care look like? And what's driving that from an outcomes perspective? So I view the future of the industry very much being driven by providers, you know, ultimately being able to influence these decisions in a much more data-driven way than they have historically.
Okay. So can you share a little bit about how that provider performance data that you provide to employers, you know, what all does that entail?
Yeah. So we're able to get very granular, you know, when take that orthopedic example, you know, we're able to say, hey, here are the orthopedic surgeons that are not doing that unnecessary knee scope or unnecessary knee or hip replacements, who excel at ACL repairs, you know, better complications following a given procedure in terms of ER. We're able to get all the way down to that level of granularity. The reality is most employers, that's too much data overload. They wouldn't know what to do with it.
Sure. They want to, hey, give me the top three or five in this zip code where I have a large bolus of employees.
Exactly. And match my people. Like, I get you that the shoulder guy is not going to be the same as the knee or hip, you know, orthopod. So give me the best, match them. And then what they really want to know are the results. So tell me, did my people use these providers? Do they use your tools? Do they go see these providers? Do they get better outcomes? And then what does that do in terms of my spend? And where it gets really compelling with employers, Kevin, is when you're able to go back in there as we are and say, hey, here's what we saw before when you were just using the health plan network and your members had to try to make these decisions on their own. Here's the utilization pattern we saw. And not surprising, it's a pretty good spread between high and low performing and a lot of average in the middle. A year in, 2 years in, we've been able to shift this many members to higher performing providers. That's what this means. This is what this means for you in terms of lower unnecessary surgeries. This is what it means for you in terms of better control of your diabetics and less unnecessary ER and admissions for your diabetics or your COPD, you know, patients. And then here's what that means for you in terms of a cost. And it's cross-eyed up. I mean, we've been able to show that we can deflect trend over a multi-year period by about 35% by decreasing total cost of care 3-5% year over year, which is, I mean, you know this, you know, when you get to high quality, it really does make a big difference.
So I'm seeing this in a couple of different ways. The first one is I'm looking at those large international corporations who are now looking at steering their patients, you know, being very prescriptive, pardon the pun, for, you know, specific surgeries, like sending them to a center of excellence. Like, okay, all of my employees in XYZ Corporation who need an ACL repair, I'm going to send you to Johns Hopkins. And if anybody needs a cabbage, I'm going to send you to Mayo in Scottsdale or whatever. Yeah. Am I right?
Yes. You can do that, but the reality, and employers have done that, and we work with employers to help them identify those providers. But the reality is, and you probably know this, you know, and you know, Waco is as true as it is in Nashville. Most people, when they have a care need, do not want to get on a plane. They want to go to the docs in their local community that they trust. I get it. You got family, you got caregivers, you got your support system. A lot of people never been on a plane before. You know, you're going to, and so kind of the whole thesis, the whole founding principle behind Abode was, yes, you can get great care at the Hopkins and the Cleveland Clinics and the Mayos, you name it, you know, the places that we all know. But in just about every single community in the U.S., they're high-quality docs delivering exceptional care. We just need a way to identify them and showcase them and to make it easy for people to get in and see them. And in doing so, you can raise the bar for care without making people get on planes.
Okay. All right. So that's one. The second one is I see you guys, you know, particularly in large metropolitan areas, obviously, you know, really helping the health plans create those narrow networks that they ideally want. You know, but a narrow network of high quality providers versus, hey, these are the guys that, you know, are going to give me the lowest cost.
You got it. That's exactly you nailed it. That's exactly that's what we offer to plans and employers who are saying, hey, we need an alternative type of network. We don't want people going to low quality, but the options that we have and that have been brought to us before are based on price. Who's going to take the lowest rates? And while higher quality doesn't always cost more, we don't feel good about the inverse of that. The cheapest providers, the cheapest docs aren't the ones that we want to be showcasing. So let's flip that on its head and say, instead of worrying about just the price part of it, let's focus on quality. And because we know that that relationship between quality and total cost of care exists, let's build a network focused on high quality first. And then we know the costs follow.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with that because it makes sense. I mean, if you think about it, the reason somebody typically is providing high quality is they've done this a lot and they've made those mistakes earlier on. They've identified the ideal implants, if you will, they've become incredibly efficient at what they do. And so, as you said, you know, higher quality typically does provide, you know, there's going to be a little bit of cost involved, but it is going to have, you know, a much lower overall cost of care when you look at the downstream, you know, in the follow-ups, any kind of, you know, revisions they might, you know, have to be done if you're not used to doing those surgeries or whatever. So
yeah, that's exactly right.
Oh, and thank goodness. I feel like I'm understanding it. So that's great.
And the data bears that out.
Yeah.
Data bears out.
Okay. Okay. So, hey, anything else that we haven't touched on that you'd like to mention in our last few minutes here?
I mean, the only other thing, and you know, you alluded to this early on, is healthcare is complex. Like, it is hard, even for those of us who are supposedly in the know and have connections to try to navigate. You know, even just these basic questions of who can I go trust and to get my medical care from. And so kind of the role that we're trying to fill here whether that's with an employer or a member directly or a plan or a provider. It's let's take out some of this complexity and try to make it a lot easier for you using data, using validated results, using interactive tools that don't require you to, you know, use a medical vocabulary that, you know, you're not trained on, but you can use in common everyday words. How do you make it easy to get to those providers that you can trust to get deliver exceptional care, to take some of this complexity out of the system?
You know, if you can solve that, boy, more power to you, because in my 3.5 decades in healthcare, it just keeps getting more complex.
It really does. And
yeah, I mean, this is something that most people, you know, even people who've been in the industry as long as I have, and I'm sure you too, you know, will run against, you know, issues with family members or whatever that, like, man, I can't imagine what people who don't have a little bit of knowledge in healthcare have to deal with.
Who don't have a Kevin in your corner. You know.
Yeah. Or yeah. A Daniel. Right. Exactly. So, well, you know, I've really enjoyed talking to you, you know, from your perspective, and it's great to hear how much, you know, Embold continues to grow and really, you know, meet the challenge of trying to simplify healthcare. You know, that's great.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the chance to be back here with you all today. And can't wait to be back here in a couple of years to tell you the next thing where I was just, this continues to evolve and grow.
I would love to have you back. Okay. You know, want to give you a chance. Hey, if any of my audience would like to hear more about Embold, how can they do that?
Just reach out. My email is daniel.stein@emboldhealth.com. Reach out to me. We'd love to hear from you. And we're always looking for new ways to grow and new applications.
That sounds great. Daniel, once again, really appreciate having you on today. It's been a pleasure. And I am going to take you up on it. We'll talk again in a couple more years.
Wow, that sounds great. Thank you.
Right. Hey, everybody, I hope you've enjoyed today's conversation. You know, anytime I run into a guest that's looking to de-simplify or simplify healthcare, I think it's definitely somebody worthy of your further investigation. So contact Daniel Stein. He's given you his email. Take him up on it. So with that, I'm Kevin Stevenson. It's been I Don't Care with me, Kevin Stevenson. And I look forward to hearing from you and seeing you next time. Take care.